Hey, welcome back to Strong Tower Radio today. I'm George Corliss.
I'm Jelaine Fenner.
And I'm Teresa Williams with the Wexford Conservation District, and I'm the Garden Gal.
And if you just tuned in, this program is called Good Growing with a Garden Gal. We'll help you to become stewards of your own natural resources, whether you're a farmer, a backyard gardener, or you're into forestry or animal husbandry. Our goal is to provide information and education on these subjects and more. This segment, folks, we're going to be talking about seeds. Now, Teresa, seed catalogs, if they're not already in your possession, they are coming very soon because they want you to order from them instead of going into the big box stores and all the other things
like
that.
I've already got one or two of them been mailed to me.
Have you really?
I was shocked. Yeah. Now,
I start getting them around Thanksgiving. It's early
really?
Every year, I think.
Do you get a whopper load of them?
Oh, yeah.
She probably does.
Yeah. I do.
And so you've got a tremendously wide selection of both heirloom and any kind of seed, basically, that you want to buy under the face of the earth is basically what it is. And they give you a lot of details. Talk about what excites you when you come to a seed catalog. What's the first thing you turn to?
Wow. I like carrots.
Okay.
So I'll go look at carrots and beans and tomatoes because there's so much variety with tomatoes anymore. Yeah. So many things you can do. I don't know. It's like asking me, what's my favorite child? I don't really think I can answer that.
That's funny. Now, I have a question, though, just, you know, because I'm not sure if everybody out there listening knows open pollinated. George said heirloom, and there's hybrid. You want to tell us what that all means?
Sure. Open pollinated means that nobody's out there figuring out who's going to be the female plant and who's going to be the male plant. It's a stable variety. A hybrid means they very intentionally are choosing which plant's going to be the female plant and which one's going to be the male plant and collecting the pollen from the male and putting it onto the female plant. And they do very specific parentage to get a particular offspring variety. That's what it means by hybrid, where humans are involved in determining which two plants are the female plant and the male plant to produce the seed.
Does that help maybe make some seeds, varieties of, the plants better?
Yeah.
More hardy?
There's lots of different goals that somebody could choose. Perhaps they're going for a particular color in a flower, or perhaps they're going for disease resistance, or perhaps they're going for quicker ripening. So, or perhaps they're going for hardiness. So what they're trying to do is develop a trait that's desirable. Maybe they're going for yield. So by crossing particular parent plants, the goal is to find offspring that have traits that are desirable. And that's what it means by a hybrid.
Hybrid, okay.
And open pollinated means people aren't involved and that variety is pretty much stable. An heirloom, it's commonly referred to as varieties we knew prior to World War II, just as sort of an arbitrary timeline, mainly because a lot of hybridization programs got going after the Second World War. Nearly all heirlooms are open pollinated. It's incredibly rare that somebody would say an heirloom hybrid. You don't find that very often. And there are some people, for example, the Seed Savers Exchange, part of their definition for their organization is it has to have been a variety that's been passed down from generation to generation.
Okay, you said Seed Savers Exchange. Mm-hmm. Can you explain what that is?
Sure. That's it's an organization whose goal is to save a lot of our heirloom varieties. And they have cooperating gardeners and farmers all over the United States and have a seed catalog. Their full inventory is thousands of varieties. And every year they do publish a catalog with a few hundred of those varieties for people who are gardeners who want to try out some of these heirloom varieties. But they do a lot of good work. They're out in Decorah, Iowa.
Have you purchased any of these?
Oh, yeah.
And what was the result?
You know, some of them were well adapted to where I lived and some of them weren't. A lot of these heirlooms might be specifically adapted to a particular type of soil or a particular type of climate. So perhaps it's a little bit more of a fun gamble if you're using an heirloom to find out, well, will this work for you? But several of the varieties I've purchased from them worked absolutely fine where we are.
Now, when we're growing things, depending on what type of seed that you order, which ones can you harvest seeds from and which ones can you not harvest seeds from?
You can harvest a seed from any of them, but the question is, will that harvest seed be true to type when you grow to plant it the next year? And it's those open pollinated ones that are going to be true to type the next year. If you save seeds from a hybrid and plant them the next year, it's a real wild card because you can get offspring that look nothing like the parent plants. They revert back to one of their parents is what happens. So if you want to save seed because you like that particular vegetable or fruit, you want to make sure you're saving it from an open pollinated variety.
And have you have to have some experience with that. Have you got some crazy vegetables or other things? What did you happen?
There was one time where, and I didn't do this intentionally, it just happened. We had some arugula cross with some pak choy, and it created kind of a tasty new vegetable. So it wasn't intentional.
You don't know what it was?
I don't know what it was. We just ate it and enjoyed it.
You didn't name it the Teresa or something like that, or the Jim or something?
No, it just happened, and it was tasty, so we ate it.
Okay, explain in the notes here, it's talking about ordering seeds, all American selections.
That is something, if you look in a catalog, you might see this little symbol that says AAS, and it stands for All America Selections. And those are varieties of crops that have been planted by farmers, gardeners all over the country and been evaluated and found that they do well under a wide variety of growing conditions found in the United States. So that's why the All America, meaning they're adaptable to a wide range of growing conditions and they do well in a wide range of growing conditions.
So like Florida and Michigan, you could grow the same seed, maybe not at the same time.
Yeah, it means, that's the idea, that if it can grow here, it can grow in a lot of other places in the United States. Like Florida is sort of a lot different than we are, so I'm not quite sure I'd go to that extent. But Nebraska and Michigan, or Vermont and Michigan, and you'd likely have success.
Do you have seeds that come from other continents that are growable here?
Sure.
Okay, can you give us some examples?
One of the things we grow out at our place is a lettuce that's an heirloom lettuce that a friend of ours, I'm not sure if it's grandfather, great-grandfather, how far back it was, they came from Germany. So our favorite lettuce is a lettuce that came to us from Germany. And most of the annual vegetables that we grow, or quite a lot of them, aren't native to North America. Mm-hmm. You think about carrots, lettuce, things like that, they're not native to North America. Now, our beans, our squash, tomatoes, corn, those are native to the Americas, but a lot of the other ones are not.
How about potatoes?
Potatoes are native to the Americas, South America.
Native to South America.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when the Europeans came over, did they bring potatoes with them? Or were they readily available? Did the Indians already have them here in North America or not?
Potatoes made their way from South America to Europe, not the other way around.
Okay.
Maybe some came back, but potatoes are not native to Europe.
They're not native to Europe?
They are not native to Europe, no.
So they're native from South America?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting?
So when we hear that about that Irish potato famine, potato wasn't native to Ireland at all?
No.
Just good growing conditions for potatoes is basically, and it came
An Irish potato is kind of a joke because potatoes are not from Ireland.
That is something else. Jelaine, that's one of the reasons why I enjoy this so much, because
I know we learn so much.
As you go through there. Okay, so when you're looking at the catalog, is it kind of one-stop shopping? It's telling you all of these different things about All American Selections and whether they're hybrid or open pollinated and all of these other things like that? Or
I think a quality catalog will. And that's why it was one of the advantages of going through a catalog, is because a quality catalog is going to tell you, is this particular variety open pollinated or heirloom or hybrid? They're going to tell you, what is it resistant to? It's going to tell you any special growing conditions that this variety needs, or any special characteristics that that variety has. That's one reason why I like catalogs, because there's a lot more detail in a catalog than is on most seed packets.
And there's varieties and varieties of seed catalogs.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I get a couple dozen just me, and I'm sure I'm not on everybody's mailing list.
Do you feel that a lot of times, especially when spring gets here and the box stores and the greenhouses and other people like that are starting to put their flowers out and starting to put their seedlings out and other things like that, that the consumer kind of gets overwhelmed from a visual standpoint, that it's just buy, 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 buy. And, you know, if they had done their homework way back when, 2 or 3 months before that, I mean, they could have saved themselves a lot of misery, maybe? I don't know.
That's just so independent. Some people really enjoy that experience of seeing the plants in person, and some people really enjoy the experience of studying the catalog. So I don't really know what to tell you about that because it's very individual on that.
Okay. Now, like you guys have You used to plant a couple, 2 or 3 acres, correct?
An acre.
And how much do you plant now? The same amount?
About a quarter acre.
Mm-hmm. And this is mainly harvest for yourself, for canning and freezing and other things like that. Mm-hmm. What are things that you're looking for to fill the freezer? What are you looking for to be able to can and other things like that in these seed catalogs?
Well, I like I go for things with high flavor. I don't need the highest yield, because I'm not trying to make a living off of it. So yield isn't as important to me as flavor. And then I also look at, I'll look, for instance, at carrots. I don't grow just one variety of carrots. I'll grow a variety of carrots that's good for summer harvest and good for fall and winter storage. So I might grow 4 or 5 different varieties of carrots to make it so I can have carrots all year round. And same with tomatoes. I'll grow some tomatoes that are never intended to be canned, and then I'll also grow tomatoes that have that are meatier, have a smaller seed cavity for the tomatoes that I want to can.
So how do they learn what you just said? From seed catalogs? Or?
Usually the seed catalogs, I think a quality seed catalog will tell you that. They'll say, has small seed cavity, good for canning, or some information like that. And that's what I like about having the time to sit down and study the seed catalog, because I look for seed catalogs that provide me those kinds of details.
And so, and I need to take a short break here to say that you're listening to Good Growing with the Garden Gal. I'm George Corliss.
I'm Jelaine Fenner.
And I'm Teresa Williams.
And she is the Garden Gal. And this segment, we're talking about ordering seeds. Okay, so you get your seeds back, and I know probably the next time that we meet, we're going to talk about maybe getting early starts on seedlings and different things like that. But about from month to month to month, starting like right now in late January. Okay, so we're ordering seeds. What about February? What are we looking at?
In February, are you talking about like a calendar of what to do
yep,
when?
Yep, yep.
Okay. If you like onions, which is our crop of the month this month, and you start for them from seeds, which I do because I think that's a really great option, you want to start onions around Valentine's Day. And a lot of your annual herbs and even annual flowers, mid-February is a good time to start them. And other plants, the starting time varies with how long does it take to get a plant big enough to transplant and what kind of temperatures, outdoor temperatures, does that plant need? And you kind of work backwards from when can you plant it out to how big should it be when you start, or when you plant it out, to figure out when to start that seed.
Now, and again, because, you know, there are people that maybe just starting to, you know, garden and stuff. They could learn this from a seed catalog. I mean, how are they going to know when they should start, you know, planting their
stuff? Listen to Strong Town Radio.
Yeah. That's why we got her here. But
seed catalogs are one thing. And if I could make a plug, our conservation district holds a series of workshops. We call it the Winter Wednesday Workshop Series. And we answer those questions because those are pretty, there's a lot of information to pack into there. So our workshop series, you could attend, you could look at seed catalog, and there's a lot of really good books out there to help you with figuring that out, too.
So when you, okay, because you're from Wexford County, is this all soil conservation districts, or?
I'm afraid not. Okay. I think we're probably pretty local and pretty specialized. In some counties, the Extension Service has a Master Gardener class that can tell you things like that. So it does vary tremendously county to county what resources are available in terms of learning more about gardening.
So everybody that's listening, because we cover a big variety of Michigan, they need to call their county.
Yeah, call their county conservation district, and they can direct you to what resources are available in your county.
Okay.
Explain what that Master Gardener program is, because don't all of the conservation districts have some semblance of that program?
That's actually not a conservation district program.
Oh, it's not?
It's a program of Michigan State University Extension.
Okay.
And, again, that varies by county, but what MSU Extension is trying to do is develop the skills of people out there so that they in turn can teach other people. And I know one of the requirements for getting that certification as a master gardener is not only do you have to take the classes, but you have to commit to continuing education for yourself and to passing on your knowledge to other people.
That's interesting.
I think a master gardener could just position themselves at some of these box stores because a lot of those people have no idea, for the most part, of, you know, oh, those are pretty flowers. They're yellow and some of the other ones. I know some of the box stores do have very knowledgeable people that maybe run that particular garden center or whatever. But for the most part, I've found that very lacking. Maybe that's what you guys should do, you know, or the extension office should do, is just maybe station them right outside the door there to help. I don't know. But I keep going back to the determinate tomatoes and the non-determinate, and that was
which we'll
cute.
Talk about when we do tomatoes again. Right?
Yes,
because that's I think people I didn't understand that till the first time we talked about it.
And I love when you go there and you ask that, because sometimes those people don't even know what they are, and it's like, oh, well, let me tell you, I learned it listening to Teresa Williams on Strong Tower Radio. So, Teresa. And so February, March, April, you're starting to get the dirt ready, maybe a little bit, manure. What are we doing, compost?
Depends what you did the fall before. Ideally, you will have taken care of your soil needs the fall before. But if that didn't work out for you, we start working the soil when it's fairly dry. You don't want to work a waterlogged soil because you'll ruin the soil structure. So if you're going to do any tilling or add any amendments, we do recommend that you wait until the soil has dried out a bit so you keep those healthy pore spaces going.
I know when you spoke two or three months ago about hoop houses,
mm-hmm.
a lot of people are going to those. I see those every once in a while here, there, you know, as you kind of go down through the country. Those things are really neat in getting things started, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, they're great.
And plus they're outside, so you mm-hmm. haven't got all the dirt and the mess, you know, inside when you do those things like that. I have one last question before we go to the next segment. When you're planting seeds, whether you've got a hoop house or whatever, or you've just got, you know, the little seed things in the house itself by a window, how do you keep them from just springing up so you've got the petal or whatever it is up here, and then you've got a tremendously long stem?
That comes from not enough light.
Is that what it is?
That's what it is. And when I do my seed starts indoors, I just use ordinary shop lights with fluorescent tubes. And those lights, the actual bulb, needs to be 1 to 2 inches above the plant, really close. And that's what you need to get the plant enough light. If you've got long, leggy plants like you're describing, it means there's not enough light. You know, I've seen a lot of places where they recommend placing your plant starts in a south-facing window. I've never gotten enough light out of a south-facing window to get nice quality plants.
They lied to me, too.
So, well, we might maybe have somewhere it happens, but not, we
Michigan.
Have a lot of cloudy weather, and it's never enough light.
You know, we got cloudy days. So you're not getting the good sunlight.
Yeah.
Well, that's it for this segment, folks. Stay tuned, though. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the crop of the month, and Teresa's already said that. We're going to be talking about onions, so stay tuned.